Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, an entity tries a different tactic to affect a listener when she shows that she's not afraid. A woman takes the opportunity of a dark and stormy night to invite spirits into her home. Some view it as a dark and stormy night. Some view it as a possibility. One family has a sure way to know when their beloved deceased grandfather is joining in family activities. How about... what's the name of the game? Twister.
Twister?
Twister with the dead.
Okay.
That could be interesting. A grandmother returns a gift to her granddaughter from beyond the grave. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. If you could play a game with a deceased individual, what game would it be?
Can I communicate with them besides the game?
Nope, just got the game.
Scrabble.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they can spell shit.
Yeah.
I was going to go with Mousetrap.
Okay.
It's because I like Mousetrap.
But essentially, if I'm playing Scrabble with somebody that's dead, how's that any different than a Ouija board?
It's a good question. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many possessions begin with Scrabble. How many times have you invited the dead in playing Scrabble? That's what we're talking about today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a call.
No.
I don't know. That's kind of interesting. Could you make like a dark version of Scrabble where it's... something is guiding you in the letters that you're picking out of the big sack of letters, or
I don't know.
I don't think that would work out quite as well as it would with a Ouija board. But yeah, interesting thought. You had another interesting thought earlier today, or was it last night? I think it was earlier today. We were talking about paint, and this is another great marketing idea that you'll only hear on Real Ghost Stories Online. We've had Demon Away. We've had several other great ideas, but this one, it involves adding holy water to paint.
Yeah.
And that way your whole home is, it's like an instant blessing.
There you go.
You know, I know in some folks in some religions, that's like a normal thing. When you get a new home, the priest comes and blesses the house. This is kind of one of those things where maybe you're far away. Maybe you're not, you're out in a rural area and they can't necessarily come and bless the house. This, when you go into the Sherwin-Williams store, you just ask them, instead of adding a scent or glitter to your metallic gray paint, you can easily have some holy water added in.
I think you have to do it on your own.
You can't, it can't be like added in at Lowe's.
No, I'm sure Lowe's isn't going to do anything like that.
No, and your Lowe's credit card, add holy water to your paint, and keep the demons away. or sage to the paint. And could you, would that work the same if, you know?
I don't think so.
Probably not quite. Interesting thought, though, nonetheless. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Kathy writes in, I know that there's another side that of what we can see. I choose not to seek it out, knowing that if I do, I open a door that I'm not prepared to deal with. I also know that seeking, talking to, or searching for paranormal activities can lead me down a path I choose not to go. I do listen to this podcast because the more I know, the more I understand to not open myself up, because I believe deep down I have the ability to be sensitive, which is why the following story really put me on edge. The other night I was preparing to go to bed following all the rituals that helped me sleep, including listening to short stories to stop my mind from whirling. I'd not taken any sleep aids trying to quit, so I'm not sure if that played a part or not. My husband was staying up late since he couldn't sleep, and I was dozing off when I heard a noise. Glanced up to see a shadow cross at the foot of my bed coming from the door to the other side of the room. I sensed that there was someone in the room and assumed it was my husband coming to bed after all, even though the light was still on under the doorway to the bedroom. I looked at the clock and saw it was only midnight. I went to sleep, not thinking anything about it. A few hours later, my husband did come to bed. I woke up long enough to ask him if he had come in the room earlier, and he said no. This was the only time he had been back there. I chalked it up to imagination and went to sleep again. Little back information, I don't have nightmares that scare me. I love having an active dream life and know that if I have a nightmare that I can wake up anytime, therefore there isn't any fear. However, that night, I had dreams that scared me. Woke myself up from the first one that involved a doll on my front porch that, when I picked it up, became an old woman dressed in black with a veil over her head that wouldn't leave. When I woke, I was shaken a bit. Took a drink of water, went back to sleep. The next dream, I was traveling to a store. And the closer I got, the darker I got. I parked and walked towards the store, and the darkness got heavier and heavier. When I went into the store, there were other people there shopping. I went to leave, and when I opened the door, the darkness was a tangible thing, and I knew the light would never come and wouldn't get out of the store alive. I woke up more shaken than the first time. Cold fear washed over me, and I looked around. The darkness was not comforting. Couldn't see the familiar moonlight coming from the windows or the light coming from under the bathroom door from the nightlight in there. I then knew something was wrong and prayed. After a bit, I felt better and went back to sleep. This time I dreamed that my best friend and I were being considered for a role in a TV show. We were dressed up. She looked incredible, but my dress was too small and my weight was on display, not in a good way. I felt insecure and ashamed and was really down on myself and crying. I woke up and then realized that something was trying to mentally attack me and trying to beat me down. When it realizes that fear wouldn't get to me, it tried attacking my insecurity. At that, I verbally rebuked the thing and told it to leave me alone, and it had no authority to be there. Immediately, the darkness in the room became comforting instead of oppressive, and I went back to sleep for the hour I had remaining before morning. When I got up, I knew that I hadn't prayed protection over the house in some time and went about rectifying that. Since then, nothing else has happened, but I have become more aware of protection and protection for my home and family.
I think that's kind of where I was thinking about the holy water and the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Was when I was editing this one.
Okay.
Because it sounds like she has to pray for protection over her home periodically,
mm-hmm.
that things just try to come back.
Sure.
You know, it's almost like you need a pest control service for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you did something, is there something that's more permanent that is like a done deal? You don't have to worry about, oh, I'm starting to see activity again. I need to do it again.
Just where it's like essentially permanently in your walls. Tony Taupe with holy water. Which is actually a color we just painted.
It is a color.
It's called Tony Taupe.
And it was not because of your name. It just worked out that that was the color.
Just drew you to that color.
Right.
You're like, I was going to do this completely opposite color, but because your name's in it, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's why it's kind of hot pinkish.
It's not.
In all seriousness, I totally see your point. I'm wondering if, back to the paint thing, if that could be done. and actually work.
And I'm not trying to be facetious.
No.
I'm just wondering.
It's a funny thought, but at the same time, I'm also serious about it. Just mm-hmm. It's just the same as, you know, saging a house and all that. People resage, and you know, because mm-hmm. the scent goes away. And if it's like permanently in there, part of it, would that help? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Does it eventually wear away? I don't know. It's an interesting thought. Thanks for writing in the story. We appreciate that. Chuck writes in, "Hi, my name is Chuck. I'm from Indiana. The house I grew up in was an old farmhouse, at least 100 years old, and it always seemed clear that the place was haunted. I'd seen things like the silhouette of a person wrapped in white light in the house, usually out of the corner of my eye. Strange footsteps could be heard when no one else was home. The creepiest part of the house was the second floor, where as you walked up the stairs, there was always this feeling of something unfriendly watching you. I remember sitting on the steps crying after being sent to my room because I didn't want to be up there alone. Even as a teenager, and I'll not go up there after dark. Even in the daylight, the lights must be on for me to go up there. One hot summer night, I tried to get some relief from the heat by sticking one foot out from under my covers. Before I could fall asleep, something grabbed my foot. I quickly pulled my foot back under the blanket. I still can't sleep there at night, and if I'm not covered up from neck to toe. I'm now 25 years old and still fall asleep with the lights on some nights when the atmosphere feels heavy. Once I was asleep on the couch, and my mom was trying to wake me up for school, and I felt the pressure of a hand on my stomach, which instantly sent me up off the couch. When my mom passed away from issues from COPD and asthma, I sat in her rocker and heard her tell me, "It's okay. It's like I can breathe for the first time." When my grandmother passed in a nursing home from lung cancer, I literally watched her stand in the doorway of the room in a white dress. She smiled and spun her dress, turned and walked away. I was shocked when we got to the funeral home and a picture of her in the same white dress was posted on a board, and she looked in that picture just as she did when she walked out of the room. It was a younger her, but definitely her. I'm currently living in the house I grew up in at the end of the dead-end gravel road out in the woods. I don't believe my experiences are only connected to the house. I had other experiences with a boy in my dorm in college. My roommate and I left toys on the floor for him to play with as he seemed to enjoy playing with our Halloween decorations. In an apartment I lived in, I'd often lay in my bedroom at night in the back of the complex, and while I was trying to sleep, I would hear people whispering in my living room. I tried to chalk it up to my fish tank, but that was just to comfort myself so I could sleep soundly. My dad recently told me he intends to sell the house and property. I believe the ghosts are unhappy about this. I talk with him sometimes and told him that I am very sorry, but I have no choice in the matter and must leave in a month. I have many other stories I'd love to share. Love listening to your show and your theories and what is what. Hope to talk to you again soon.
I kind of was thinking about this story and trying to determine what's the difference between a person that is sensitive and a person that is just a haunted person.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think maybe sensitive people tend to pick up all different things wherever they go throughout life, but a haunted person seems to kind of have the same thing following them no matter where they are.
Say that again.
I was thinking that a sensitive person kind of has things that they interact with different places, like at the apartment with the roommate, it was the little boy. Mm-hmm. And at the house, it was something different. And he saw the grandmother. I mean, mm-hmm. different things, different places.
Sure.
But a truly haunted person kind of has the same thing following them all the time.
Sure. It's where it's just kind of like your entourage of the dead.
Do you think that's pretty accurate?
I think in a lot of cases, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's always the case, because I think sometimes you have the combination of the two,
mm-hmm.
where someone is sensitive and haunted. And then you get the best of everything. You have your ongoing entourage of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have the ability to pick up on whatever may be haunting the area you happen to be at that moment.
Sure.
And that, then you wonder sometimes if your entourage of dead can interact with the other dead.
Mm-hmm.
That you may be coming across no matter where you're at. But I think, yeah, I think overall it's probably fairly accurate.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought. As I say, interesting too much. Another bell for that. Yeah. Actually, I need like a shock collar for that.
Yeah, somebody wrote in and gave us a whole slew of synonyms for interesting.
What I should print it off in very large font and post it on the wall here. Then I can just look at it.
No, you need a spin wheel, kind of like Twister. And it just lands on a different word.
I'll be like, that's very, hang on everyone. And then that's my sound effect for a spinning wheel.
That's like Wheel of Fortune.
Pretty accurate. And then I pick a word.
Uh-huh.
It's like Mad Libs every day. Elaine writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. This just happened last night, and I'll admit I don't know what to make of it. But think of saying, be careful what you wish for. It might have come true. I live in Central Oregon, and we've been having thunderstorms during the late afternoon. During the height of the storm, I said aloud that if there was anyone who wished to talk to me, this would be a good time to try. A few hours later, I decided to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on DVR. I'd watched about 20 minutes of the show when the commercials interrupted the show. I fast-forwarded through them and continued watching the show. As I watched for a few minutes, the show started fading away while being surrounded in static. I could see an image take form. Once the image became crystal clear, I could see it was an older man wearing a white and green striped polo shirt with long white hair above his collar. He seemed to be in a classroom since it looked like there was a black chalkboard on the right side of him. He never said anything, nor did I see him move. He just kept looking at me for about a minute. I figured this was some sort of special effect from the show, but couldn't figure out what this man had to do with it. Then the image became surrounded in static, and the older man started fading away. I could now see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. Very confused, I thought I must have missed something while watching the show. I reversed the DVR and started watching from the first commercial. To my surprise, the older man never appeared. There was no indication of what I had seen. It never occurred. I replayed that section of the show a couple times and nothing. Once I realized this may be paranormal, I kind of freaked out. Once I calmed down, I spent hours trying to figure out who it might have been, and I finally realized the older man had a resemblance to one of my high school teachers. Now trying to find out if he's passed away. I've never heard of anyone having an experience like this. Even my husband, who wasn't watching the show, didn't understand how it could have happened. I'd love to hear your thoughts and insights you may have, and thanks again for having an outlet for our experiences. It certainly helps to know there are other experiences or others experiencing similar things. Elaine.
I guess I'm a child of the 80s because to me, I remember flipping through the channels and you'd have those channels where it was all static, but you could vaguely see the show
mm-hmm.
on one of the, you know, adjacent channels
sure.
kind of coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of think, when I hear that, I'm like, there's got to be some kind of digital explanation for it, except that she recognized the person.
She recognized the person because she's talking about DVR.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hated about when modern TV started coming out in the 90s. And this is before even the digital stuff. But a lot of the modern TVs, you had it took away the static
mm-hmm.
signals. And it didn't necessarily make it so you could kind of make out your show. Because I would try and watch some shows that way. It just went to the blue screen.
It became all or nothing.
Yeah, it was there or it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what the digital is these days. So if you're someone who never experienced that, that's how TV used to be. These days, that really physically can't happen with the way that the TV signals work.
With the DVR.
The DVR, it's all digital. It's either there or it's not. I mean, you can get digital interference. It just gets really blocky, though, and probably just stop.
Mm-hmm.
The way this was described, it sounds, you know, almost like staticky, and then this other thing comes on, and then it kind of fades back,
mm-hmm.
which used to happen. But with the way that things are set up now, that's bizarre, and it's even more bizarre with the fact that they rewound it and it wasn't there
yeah.
on the DVR. So the only remote possible explanation, and I do have a question with it, is were you watching this on an old TV? Because you could be. If this is being viewed on a DVR, on an old analog TV, which can be done with a converter box, the old TV, though, still analog, and if there's a strong enough signal that's somewhere around you, you know, that can push towards the box. Essentially, it's like how sometimes when you're wearing headphones, you can pick up a CB radio
mm-hmm.
or something. Same thing with the television. If for some reason there's some signal strong enough with that analog, it will override whatever you are watching.
Sure.
DVR, no matter what, it's just, it's being picked up that strong. I mean, now, if that normally doesn't happen around you, that's probably not what happened. You probably do have something paranormal. But if, for example, you live out in the country and there happens to be a TV antenna in your field in the back, a broadcast antenna, mm-hmm. People there sometimes have issues with the radio reception, their TV reception, and just like the one channel that's being broadcast off that signal, essentially coming through on every channel they have if they're picking up a signal. So that is how that could, in theory, happen.
Okay.
In theory, probably not what's going on
probably
here.
Probably not.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Damn, I said interesting again. Again, I'm gonna get one of those like dog vibrator shock collars and put it on my wrist.
Uh-huh.
And every time I say interesting, you're gonna press the button.
And then you're gonna scream like a child.
I'll do an entire episode that way.
Okay.
It might be the most listened to episode ever.
Could be.
People will just be like, yes, do it again. Start getting people, you know, putting the word interesting in their stories just so I have to read it out loud and then get shocked. That's how that will all go down. Thank you for the story. I do believe, though, there's probably something paranormal there going on. Janelle writes, in many years back, my brother gave my mother a Christmas gift. It was a beautiful wall clock, about 3 feet high, with a shiny brass pendulum encased in the glass. My mother hung it in the dining area, and right away it became a permanent piece in her home. My mother's home was in eastern Wisconsin, and is a big open floor plan, and it's a perfect place for all six of her children and their families to get together. Several of us live far away and end up spending overnights in her home. The rest of the families come around. It's not unusual for us to leave several days of food, drink, games, and good cheer together. It's always been the gathering place for us in the center of the room. They hung the clock. My mother's father, my grandfather Glenn, always told us how much he liked that clock. He honestly admired it, as Glenn was always fond of clocks. I remember he had an elaborate cuckoo clock in his own home. A few years ago, she received the clock and pendulum. It stopped swinging. Glenn came over to fix it. He changed the batteries, oiled a few springs, and soon the clock was back on the wall, keeping time through the years. We never thought much of the clock, as most people get used to things that are always a steady and permanent fixture. And excuse my pun, time went on. Sadly, Glenn became ill and died at 84 years old in February of 2008. We all gathered at my mother's house to dig through photos and share stories about Glenn's life. I was 8 months pregnant at the time and wrote a tribute to him that I gave in front of a packed church the next day. Through all the commotion, we never noticed that at some time over the 3 or 4 days, the clock stopped working. Not until after everyone left that my mother actually noticed it. She called my brother over to fix it, and no matter how hard he tried, he could not get it going. She always meant to bring it to a proper clock repair shop, but never got around to it. After several months and a few furniture rearrangements, the clock ended up on the other end of the large vaulted room, this time on a wall opposite the dining area behind a large plant. 10 months after Glenn's death, the Christmas season came around. It was then that my mother first noticed the clock pendulum moving again. I was not exactly sure when it started, but was glad to see it going. The house filled up with people for a few days as usual, and after the holiday, when the house was once again quiet, she sat down on the couch to rest and looked over at the clock. The pendulum had stopped. She suddenly felt that her father, Glenn, had been there. That he had been part of the holiday somehow, but could not really place it. Of course, he was missed, and we spoke of him often, but she had a real sense that we were all together. The next gathering was that following spring, a baby shower for my sister, and once again the house filled up with people, and again, someone noticed the clock pendulum was moving. Again, after everyone left, it stopped. This routine had been happening for 8 years now. My mother will notice it moving a few days before we all get together and stop a few days after we all leave. Once, after a lot of cleaning and putting the house back together, she sat down in a chair, noticing how quiet the house was. She looked over to the swinging pendulum and said, "Well, Dad, isn't it nice to have a quiet house again?" And suddenly the pendulum stopped swinging. She immediately called my brother and convinced that Grandpa visits us through the clock. He always loved it when the big family got together. It was his happiest moments. Now we almost expect it, asking upon our arrival, when did the clock start swinging? My stepfather was a skeptic at first, but after seeing these phenomena occur many times over, he too believes it is Glenn. There have been theories that are, of course, she starts cooking and the house heats up, loosening something, or that the doors opening and closing cause it to move and so on, but no matter if we have a cookout outside, gather for a slice of birthday cake, or spend a long weekend opening gifts and playing games, the clock starts swinging. And it ends as soon as the house resumes the quiet passing of days until the next gathering.
I like that.
That's cool.
That's a really neat story.
I wish I had a clock that did that.
Yeah, that stopped.
Mine's always swinging over there.
Yeah.
But that would be interesting if I was reading the story and it stopped. I noticed you were looking over there for a moment while I was reading the story.
Well, it's probably the same type of clock, you know?
Sure. It's funny. The clock I have in my office here was in my grandpa's office, and I have the sound turned off on it, which I didn't even know you could do. I was afraid I was going to have to actually have that reworked. But when you turn it, whenever you hear the sound, it just kind of takes you right back to being in that house and what it was, you know. There's so many memories hearing that that clock. So I whenever I want to kind of go back in time, I can just turn the sound on the clock and then huff the jar of lemon drops that I have that no matter what I do still smells like my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
It's neat, though.
It is. It's neat, but I can't quite figure out the jar thing.
Yeah, but you're so lucky. There's so many people that wish they could bottle their grandparents' home.
Sure.
You know, comforting fragrance.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's grandma's cooking or whatever, you know, just that comforting smell.
Sure. It's not a smoky smell because they weren't smokers or anything. Because, I mean, you could argue that almost. Like, well, it was in a house with smoke for, you know, 50 years.
Sure.
It was just, you know, old person house smell, for lack of a better term. And it wasn't bad. It just, you know, it was everyone's house has a specific smell. So I don't even say old person because it wasn't like, you know, what someone would think of with that, like mothball-y or something.
No.
It's just, there was a certain scent.
Mm-hmm.
And you just knew where you were when you smelled it. But you can smell that in that jar. And it's been filled with sugared candy now for a couple years. And does it smell like the sugary lemon candy? No, it still smells like that house. it's odd, but very neat. Joanna writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I was just listening to some podcast from February, and the topic of black dogs came up. I thought I'd submit my two cents on the subject. The story is, to my best of my knowledge, a real happening in the Netherlands, where my paternal grandparents are from. It was one of my dad's favorite stories to tell us when he felt like scaring us a little or reminding us that the devil and hell really do exist. So, in this story, there was a Catholic parish, supposedly, in the Netherlands. A wealthy family belonged to this parish, and they had a certain son that was very much a rebel. He ended up leading a very evil life. After he died, his brother approached the parish priest and told him that if a mass was said every Sunday for his departed brother's soul, the family would give a large amount of money to the parish. The priest agreed. The following Sunday, the first mass was said. Give a little background: in older churches, as this would have been, there are usually two doors situated behind where the priest is standing, one on one side of the sanctuary and one on the other. So as the priest intoned that the intention was for the departed brother's soul, as his name was being said, a large black dog walked from one door, crossed the sanctuary, and disappeared through the other door. The priest had the rooms behind the doors searched and removed the animal, but no dog was found. Following Sunday, the same thing happened, and the next. Every time an intention was given for the evil brother's soul, the black dog would cross the sanctuary. The priest finally deduced that it was a symbol that the man's soul was lost forever. It was a message from the devil saying, he's mine already. From then on, intentions for that man ceased, and the black dog didn't come back. Personally, I don't associate large black dogs with good things, fear perhaps, and death. Anyways, I don't mind if you don't read this on the show. Just thought it was another piece of data on the phenomena. All the best, Joanna."
I love stories like this that kind of give, there's some kind of, you know, historical event that happened that has spawned this essentially folklore
mm-hmm.
that has been passed down forever. And I love those kinds of stories because that's kind of the root of a lot of other stories that we get. You know, we've had other big black dog stories, but this sounds like one of the originals.
That's true. We talk about this sometimes and go, I really wish I knew what the where the initial part of this story came from or what that initial part of that story was.
Yeah.
And then when you kind of get one, you go, okay. So then you may end up hearing another story that vaguely resembles the original, but you can go, this is that. This is how that all began.
So there was probably some instance of a dog showing up ill-timed, and then it kind of got spun into this story that's been passed down forever.
That's a cool one. Thank you for sharing that with us. Tanya writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'll start by saying that I absolutely love your show. I've been listening for about 3 years now. Listen to many podcasts of this nature because the supernatural has always interested me. However, you guys are my favorite. This is one of the many stories I have, but I'll start with this one. In 2006, after a relationship gone sour, I moved my little family consisting of my 8-year-old daughter and my grandmother to Memphis, Tennessee for a bit of a break. I'm a southern gal, but the city is my home. So 2 years later, we returned to Chicago. Shortly after we settled in again, I started my undergrad, and my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer. This was devastating to me because this woman was practically the mother, or practically my mother. I'd been with her my entire life, and now I was faced with the possibility of losing her forever. As time went on, so did fate. I met the man who is now my husband, finished my undergrad, and started my first job out of college. During all this, my grandmother was getting weaker, and the doctors finally gave us the news that we knew would fall upon our ears eventually. She only had a year at best to live. We knew her health wasn't going to get any better, so my boyfriend at the time suggested we move in together and spend the last time of her life relaxing in the suburbs, and so we did. We moved to one of those gated communities with golf course-like grass for miles, small ponds and pools on the premises. Soon after the move, we started hospice care for my grandmother in our home. The time came for her to transition, and we had all the family around. This moment was one of relief and sorrow, and I'll never forget it. For some reason, no one in the house could stay awake any longer. We'd all been tired, but this was different. It felt like we'd all been drugged. Even the cat couldn't stay awake. Later in the early dawn, the hospice nurse came to let us know that my grandmother had taken her last breath. We all went in to say our last goodbyes, and when it was my turn, I placed in her hand the little heart made of stone I'd purchased from one of those little knick-knack shops on Michigan Avenue. I told her to go on and be at peace and to keep this stone with her, to know I loved her. When the man from the funeral home came to pick her up, they asked her to keep the stone that I had that was in her hand. I told them no, that since I was having her cremated, I wanted it to stay with her. I watched as the man covered my grandmother's body with a stone till her, the stone still in her hand. Hours later, my husband and I were completely drained. My daughter was grieving quietly, but we knew it was really bothering her. We all decided to get out of the house for a bit, so we went to sit by the pool and reminisce about Grandma. That evening, we went back into the house, and I started to tidy the place up a bit. I was folding some bed linens when I heard something hit the floor by my feet. I looked down only to find a little heart-shaped stone I'd placed in my grandmother's hand. I told my husband, and he doesn't really believe in all this supernatural stuff, but even he couldn't explain it. We both saw the man take my grandmother away with the heart in her hand, yet here it is, still with me. When I purchased the heart, the clerk said that particular stone was supposed to evoke courage. I kind of thought, whatever. Guess my grandmother knew I needed courage more than she did. Sorry if this got too long, but it felt good to get this one out. Thanks for all you guys do. I love the show. Tanya.
I like that. That's a good one. I mean, there's no explanation for that.
No, there. It's just very self-explanatory, and it's kind of is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an uplifting show today. Is there like some horrible twist this episode is going to take at some point in time?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Pretty sure not.
Suddenly, we go from that to, and guess what?
No, I think it didn't. I didn't plan it. It just worked out that way.
Today on a very special Real Ghost Stories Online. This is where you need like the kind of violinish music or the music that always played at the end of Full House.
Yeah.
Where that's what we should.
It's time to hug it out.
We should have at the end of every story today is that music to start to play. Oh, Comet! Comet came back!
Yeah.
Or Comet the dog. Then the new Full House, it's like Comet's like great-great-great-granddog or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yes, I do know. I have watched the new Full House. And it's Full House. It's the same show, essentially.
Yeah.
And the cast, you know, it's just some added people to it. Anna writes, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I just recently started listening to your show and have been really enjoying it. My family and I have plenty of stories that we could tell, and I'm hoping to convince my mother specifically to share some of hers. But for now, I'll have one that I'll share. Recently, my family and I lost our dog, Charlie. I didn't know that was coming up, but I was just talking about Comet being dead."
Yeah.
There you go. I am reading into the future. He was a pug and had a few health problems that he had been living with for a while, but his death was still unexpected. Truly devastated us. We're still grieving and will be doing so for a long time. He was her best friend. In my parents' home, where Charlie resided, the living room and the kitchen are right next to each other. Where our rooms connect, there's a dinner table, so right near the table is an armrest of one of the couches. Charlie liked to sit on that particular armrest and would walk by it and give him a little pat on the head and kiss our way into the living room. I have a nephew who's a little over a year old, my brother's son, and he very frequently comes to spend a day at the house while my mom babysits him. When Charlie was alive, my nephew would be in his high chair situated right next to that armrest and would reach over to Charlie, pat on his back in an awkward baby way, and attempt to say, "Good dog," as my mother was trying to teach him to do so. Of course, he couldn't quite get the words right, since he mainly speaks in incoherent, vaguely word-like sounds, but we knew what he was trying to say, and we found it pretty cute. But a week after Charlie's death, my nephew was over at the house for the day, and my sister had come over to help babysit. Once again, his high chair was situated right next to the armrest, simply because it was the usual spot, and my sister was feeding him while I was sitting across from them on the other couch, half watching them and half watching TV. I happened to look over at them when suddenly my nephew turned away from his food and for a moment looked down at the armrest. He seemed to be thinking about something that he was seeing. My sister and I both looked at him curiously, and then we watched him put his hand over the armrest, move it up and down as though he was patting something, and happily saying, "Good dog." My jaw dropped, and I looked at my sister to see if she had noticed what exactly had just happened, and it was clear that she did. I'd never seen her eyes get that big before. I wasn't sure what to say, and neither did she. She continued to feed him as we both sat there in confusion, slight horror. Part of me wants to say that he was only doing it out of habit, but another part of me says, what if he wasn't? He seemed unusually aware of our sadness after Charlie died. He'd stare at our faces carefully as though processing our emotions and look at us kind of sadly, and even one day looked over and pointed directly at Charlie's urn on the shelf in the living room when my mother, curious about his response, asked him where his Uncle Chuck was. Uncle Chuck was a name she used for Charlie when referring to him in front of my nephew. Maybe there's another explanation, but we often wonder if Charlie is still around. Despite being initially pretty disturbed by that particular event with my nephew, I can't help but feel a little bit more comforted now as we consider the possibility of him still being with us. There have been several times in the weeks following his death when we've thought we've seen him out of the corner of our eyes, like a little flash of him, usually somewhere on the couch, his favorite spot, though it's a bit unnerving. It's a smile. After all, if we aren't just imagining it or being tricked by our brains during our grief, it could be our little pug paying us a visit and showing us that he'll always be with us in spirit. Even though I'm new to the show, I've been loving every minute of it and consider myself a fan. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. Look forward to listening to more episodes to come and maybe submitting some stories in the future. Have a good one, Anna, in Tampa Bay, Florida.
There you go. I guess you can count kids as seeing not just people ghosts, but pet ghosts too.
That's true. I could, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing with what kids can see,
mm-hmm.
or feel, especially the real, real little ones. Did you ever have a time with either of the girls where you're like, what are they looking at?
No, I don't think so.
What are they talking to? Who are they talking to?
I didn't. Did you with either of them?
All the time.
No.
In fact, there was this one time.
Oh, God.
We were standing in the hallway, reminiscing
about her former pet ferret, Herbert. All the times Herbert would come home late from being out with friends, but still remember to pick up dinner.
The ferret?
He'd stop at the gas station and get fried chicken because he knew we loved it. And that one day, he didn't come home. I don't know where I'm going with
it. I think this is the dumbest thing we've ever done on the show, ever.
I was just trying to find some corny music, and that's what
you
I came.
You found it.
I found it, and then I started talking about
the ferret that picks up dinner.
And then one day he didn't come home, and that's it. I was going to try and go somewhere horrible with it, but I was like, I don't even know where to go with that.
Okay.
I don't even. Herbert is his name, by the way.
Okay.
Just so you know. My mom's cousin had a pet ferret for a while. For real. Not making this part up. And it would just run around the house like a cat almost, or a dog. It was really kind of fun. And this is one of the funnier parts. I remember it would go in and climb up on, he was my mom's cousin, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it would like, it sounds horrible, almost like a shawl, you know?
It would hang
like a mink.
God.
Because I remember like the old minks that people would wear, but this was a living animal.
I never understood people that wore an animal that had its head still on it.
I never understood it. We had a ton of them because my grandparents farmed mink.
Uh-huh.
This is well before my time, but they would raise them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for that industry, this is like back in the, you know, 60s, 70s. And so I remember opening many a hope chests, you know, as a child is going through stuff. And then finding these freaky animal pelts with eyes. Like, who would wear this?
Yeah.
It was scary sometimes because I would go up in the attic just searching for stuff. That was like kind of my treasure hunt sometimes, just going into the attic because there was so much crap up there. And you never knew what you were going to find in some of the boxes. And there were some boxes where you start digging and there's like something looking up at you.
Ew.
And it's another mink. So there you go.
Nothing like wearing a animal with its face still attached as a status symbol.
Go ahead and say that one again.
No.
Nothing like wearing an animal with its face still attached as a status symbol.
That's what it was.
It just sounds better when you have cheesy piano music playing behind it. Okay, continuing on with ghost stories today. Dennis says, hey guys, I just wanted to tell you a quick story that's currently ongoing. Recently moved into the house of my dreams with my wife and my daughter, who's 8 months old. It's a wonderful house from 1936. It's everything we ever wanted in a house. From day one, my daughter has been smiling and laughing at something we can't see. Now with her being 8 months old, she could be laughing at colors, pictures, or anything really, but it seems that she's actually following someone with her eyes. She usually looks up, smiles, laughs, just like she does when we make funny faces at her or hold up her favorite toy. I've ever been very, very sensitive towards the paranormal and have only had very few experiences with it that could normally be explained by something natural. But it seems that someone is in our house. A very strong feeling that a young boy is living with us. I haven't heard or seen him yet, only caught glimpses of a small figure behind doorways that rush away when I look up. Seems to be watching us. I have a feeling he's shy, and I don't know, but I can feel some sort of emotions that aren't mine. I may know what he looks like without having actually seen him. It's all very new to me since this is the first time I've ever felt something like this. He's a small boy, around 4 or 5 years old, short dark hair, dressed in modern clothes. I don't think he's been dead for all that long. I don't think he's evil or mean. I only get the positive emotions when I feel him around. I don't know if the history of the house, only that at one point, an alcoholic man and his even more alcoholic wife lived there. Little boy seems shy, but since my daughter is smiling at him, he must be friendly. I'm not trying to talk to him or contact him in any way because I do not want to scare him away. Do you guys think I should reach out to him or should I just leave him alone? I don't know, since I've never had anything like this happen to me and you guys have heard a lot more stories than me. I just want him to know that he's more than welcome to stay and play with my daughter, as they seem to like each other. Thanks to the great show, Dennis Denmark.
I wouldn't do anything at all right now. I wouldn't encourage it. I wouldn't ask it to leave. I would just leave it alone. And the reason I wouldn't encourage it and tell it it's welcome is because with a house that old, it may not be the only thing there.
That's true. You may not know who you're talking to or what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Although maybe just sit down for a Where There's Original on the porch and have a conversation about the good old days.
Good grief.
Where There's Original. It's what Grandpa loved.
You are the most random person in the world.
When I have new sound effects to play with, it makes my day so much better.
Okay, I just have to share with our listeners that today my office is being painted.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to share an office today, and there's not been much that's gone on because there's been interrupted work with you singing Patti LaBelle Sweet Potato Pie songs and all kinds of random crap. I mean, it's like working next to the class clown. Nothing gets done.
Who doesn't like a little Patti LaBelle and sweet potato pie to On My Own?
Mm-hmm. No, don't you do it. Don't you do it.
You get a taste of Michael McDonald.
I will and walk Patti out LaBelle the door if you do it.
And sweet potato pie.
I'm going to take my headset off right now if you do this.
Trifecta of goodness. So there you go. I won't do any more Patti LaBelle today. I'm kind of Patti LaBelle though.
Okay, good. Me too.
But, yeah, I agree. I would not interact with it just because you don't know. And, you know, there's a lot of things. We've had stories where things kind of start out and stories from the adult looking back on their childhood that go, yeah, this thing, it seemed, you know, nice and kind of friendly and seemed like a kid. And then I started interacting with it. And then it started telling me to do bad things. Or so there's interesting, there's things where it comes to you in disguise, if you will.
Yeah. And it may take a while for it to really show its true intention.
Trojan horse ghosts.
Yeah.
What?
No.
That's kind of...
I get it.
It's kind of what that is. And it's not always the case. It may be absolutely nothing. It may be exactly how you feel. The only time I would really say anything to it is if it is starting to be a bothersome thing, and it's interacting quite a bit, and then just trying to ask it to stop.
Mm-hmm.
That would be step one. But I wouldn't be interacting and inviting it.
No.
So that's my opinion. So there you go. Gemma writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. How are you? I love your podcast. Listening for about a month now. Just became an EPP member, which I'm loving. Thank you. I've always been sensitive to the paranormal, but the first story I wanted to share with you is a heartwarming one." Great! I can use more guitars and piano music.
I'm gonna burst.
My mom passed away in 2011, only a few days before her 93rd birthday. She suffered from dementia. The funny thing with her dementia was that she could look at my younger sister and my aunt, her daughter, and not know who they are, but as soon as I came to visit, it was like nothing was wrong. She greeted me the way she always did, with a huge smile and a big, "Gemma, I'm so happy to see you." I noticed, though, as time went on, that mom wouldn't say my name, like she didn't know it, but she still knew who I was. Last time I saw her before she died, she was in hospice care in the sitting room upstairs. They kept her sedated and kept her calm as so she wasn't in pain. Last night I spent with her, she didn't know who I was. It was the first time she didn't know me. She was yelling at me, "Who are you? Go away." I knew then that mom was slipping away. What you need to understand is mom and I were very close since I was a child. She was my biggest cheerleader, supporting me no matter what I wanted to do with my life. The morning she passed, I felt it. I woke up about a half hour before my alarm was set to go off for work and stared at my phone. Almost instantly it rang and my younger sister broke the news to me that mom had died. Anyway, about a day or two after the funeral, I was napping on my couch when I just woke up for no reason. Looked down at the hallway towards the bathroom and saw mom dressed in her dark blue dress with flowers at the bottom, waving at me with a big smile on her face. Quickly got up to move closer and said, mom, but she was gone by the time I went down the hallway. I immediately called my younger sister and told her what had happened. She said that our older sister, and my aunt as well as herself, had dreams about Mom saying goodbye to them. Turned out I was the only one she said bye to personally when I was awake. That meant a lot to me because I know it's because of that close bond we had then, still have. I feel her with me all the time. The other comforting thing at this time is that my grandfather, whom I've never met, haunted the house since he passed away in 1979. After Mom passed, a calming peace swept over the house like he waited for her all this time and now crossed over into heaven with her. I still miss her more and more every day, but she lets me know she's around with butterflies because she loved butterflies, and now I love being surrounded by them. Another incident with my grandmother was in a dream I had. This was maybe a year or two after she passed. I talked to her from time to time, and in this dream, she addressed everything. It was around the time I went through my divorce. I was in her house, went up the stairs, and found her in the sitting room, the room where she died. I started crying and said, Mom, how are you? How are you here? You died. She said, I know. And then said to me, I'm so proud of you. You've made me so happy. I just started crying harder and asked if things would get better, and she said, we have a plan, remember? Everything is going according to plan. I shook my head yes, and she gave me a hug, and then I woke up with tears in my eyes. I did think it was just a dream, but I know it was a visit. She came to visit me, to comfort me. My mom meant and means the world to me. I don't believe our bond has ended because she's no longer here. I still feel an emptiness from her death, but like I said, I still feel her with me. I have a lot more stories to share, but I'll email them another time or perhaps call some in. I love the show, and you guys are awesome. You make my day. Have a great weekend. Sincerely, Gemma. No, I agree. I think it's another, you know, it's a heartwarming one, but mm-hmm. a fairly self-explanatory where, yeah, she's still communicating and finding ways to be a part of your life there. So
it's nice that they can come and give positive messages in your dreams.
It is. Thank you for the story. Another letter. Hi, Tony and Jenny. Lost my mother last April from a battle with COPD. The morning after she passed, I saw my dad talking to himself in the backyard. The night my father told my sister and I that my mom came to him and told him she was okay and could finally breathe again. She also told him he was not done raising his children until our children are old enough to care for us and that she would wait for him. The following night, while I was sleeping in my parents' home, I felt a tap on my leg and a voice that said, it's okay. It's all going to be okay. That week, while making arrangements, we felt like my mom was helping out and was everywhere with us. One day, I locked my keys in the car and tried opening the doors and nothing. While I was on the phone with roadside assistance, my sister just opened the door. It was unlocked. Then we got back to our house where a fresh pot of coffee was brewing. Little things like that kept happening throughout the week, and after her service, things started slowing down. Every now and then when I'm having a rough day, I feel her tap me on the shoulder. I just have a sense of relief and peace. I feel like even though she's deceased and she still comes back to help me through my troubles in a different way. I love listening to your show and hope to share more soon. Thanks for listening.
When you love to hear the story from the dad's standpoint of that experience of talking to his wife who's just passed away in the backyard,
mm-hmm.
when the kids see that happen, you know?
And it's one of those things where you wonder, you know, did he, you know, actually physically see her? Did he just feel her and could interact, you know, like kind of,
mm-hmm.
lack of a better term, again, telepathically, but just kind of
reaching out to her.
Yeah, feeling the message there. How exactly was that going for him when he was having that experience?
Yeah.
Richie writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. It's been a long time since I've written in, and last story I wrote in was one of feelings and perspective and on actual events taking place. If you remember, I wrote you about the energy that must be present in old buildings and spaces that was prompted by us visiting Virginia City in Nevada and walking through the Silver Queen Hotel. We did not see or hear anything, but had a very creepy feeling walking through the empty halls. This time, my wife and I experienced an actual feeling while staying in a recently updated rental home in Lake Tahoe that might be our first actual experience with the paranormal. During the first couple of nights, I heard what sounded like bare feet walking through the house downstairs, but just assumed it was members of my family walking around late at night, as there was also multiple children there as well. But then on the last night, at around 1 in the morning, I began to hear them again. It almost sounded as if a stereo was pumping bass out in a nearby house. I went outside. No music could be heard, and the night was completely still. I also checked to see if anyone was walking around downstairs and found everyone asleep. Went back to lay down. At this point, I started hearing steps that were walking up the stairs and into our room. Same barefoot, heavy steps walking into our room got me up, and after collecting our stuff, we headed home. I tried multiple ways to explain the noise and could not. I did not know the house was recently renovated, which could have led to some of the activity, and if I find any other info out, I'll write back in. My wife just reminded me that while we were on the couch the night before, we both saw a shadow walk through the living room while we were watching TV. We both wrote it off as a light from outside, but now it seems as if something else was at play. Since it was remodeled, my theory is that the old tenant who built and lived at that house, Lake Tahoe, is now walking through and inspecting the changes. Thank you. Love the show. Richie.
And it could be either happy that the house was remodeled or not, and just going through and figuring things out.
Yeah, you don't really know the answer to that one.
Mm-mm.
And you hope it stops at some point once they give their stamp of approval. Or it could just continue on for quite a while. And that's where sometimes you just need to, if it continues, that's where it's sometimes a simple stepping in going, okay, if you're going to cohabitate here, that's fine, but I don't want to hear you or see you.
Yeah.
And sometimes that ends it. Sometimes it makes things much worse.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to sit down and have a Werther's Original on the porch with a ghost. Those are delicious. Do you like
I do like those.
Remember the Lifesavers cream savers? Do they still make those?
I don't know. I used to love the orange ones.
Those are pretty good. They taste like a dreamsicle.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. We've had a great conversation today about Werther's Originals and the old cream savers.
Yep.
What more could you possibly want in a ghost show?
That was useful information right there.
I'm telling you. Hey, if you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, become an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes jam-packed with our best ghost stories that we get in. Less talk of cream savers in those episodes, I'll tell you that much. Just a lot of really good ghost stories. So check that out, ghostpodcast.com, and help this thing stay alive. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to a very special edition of Real Ghost Stories Online.